Good morning, Africa. Welcome to Daybreak Africa from the Voice of America. I'm James Barty in Washington. Today is Wednesday, August 30th, and here are some of the stories we are covering. Zimbabwe's main opposition party demands a rerun of the August 23 presidential elections.
The only resolution and way forward articulated by CCC is that Zimbabwe needs a fresh and broad and proper election to exit the current crisis.
An analyst will prescribe his solution to the election impasse. Zimbabweans in South Africa are outraged over Ramaphosa's congratulatory message to Mnangagwa amid disputed election results. Liberia's opposition parties signed an MOU to safeguard October's presidential elections. Malawi's opposition wants the president to resign over economic challenges. Militiamen killed a dozen civilians in DRC Ituri province.
At least 14 people were killed and 8 wounded, according to authorities in Ituri province in the east of the Democratic Republic of Congo.
And analysts say Prigozhin's death will disrupt Wagner Group's activities in Africa. Those stories and more are coming up on Daybreak Africa. Gabon's president Ali Bongo has won a third term in the presidential election with 64.27% of the vote, according to Reuters news agency, quoting Gabonese Election Center. The elections were plagued by delays. Reuters news agency quotes the Electoral Commission as saying that Bongo's main challenger, Albo Ondo Osa, came second place with 30.77%. Alessandra Panga is the spokesperson for Gabon's joint opposition candidate, Albo Ondo Osa. She tells me that there have been reports that the army has seized the television station in the capital, Libreville.
What do you know is happening right now in Libreville?
I received a call from, many calls from Libreville saying that people are hearing shooting in the city, and we didn't know what is taking place. But now a rebellion is taking place. The army was in the television, and they're saying that they take the power because Ali Bongo cannot rule the country anymore. It's not available for that, and they don't want people to be killed, so they take place.
So they have announced they are taking over?
Yeah, they announced they are taking over in the television just 20 minutes ago.
And this comes after the government announced the results of the election.
Yes, the announcement of the results of the election took place at 4 o'clock a.m., and the rebellion took place just 1 hour and a half after that. They decided to get the results of the election at 4 o'clock a.m., and they declare that Bongo is the winner, but it's a lie. Everybody knows that the Professor Ondo Osa is the real winner of the election, but it's not the first time they do things like that till 2009.
So 4 a.m., I mean, it's too early in the morning.
Yes, it's too early in the morning because they know that every time they declare the first result of the election, people get out in the street to reclaim the victory of the people. So they don't want people to go out in the street, because they did that in 2006 and 2009. And when people get in the street, that they come, they send the army to kill people. And now they want everybody to be quiet at home. So they decided to give the results at 4 o'clock. And before that, they declared the curfew. So everybody is at home.
Now, I know it's very early to talk about what the opposition plans are. What do you think are your plans?
The plan is that we will contest those results. And when after the curfew, people will get out. It's not possible. The victory is very, very clear. It's very clear. The Professor Ondo Osa won the election by 90% sometimes in outside of the country and in the country. So we can't accept that this election will be stolen. It's not possible. The country is so bad. This man is here. He cannot rule the country again.
That was Alessandra Panga, the spokesperson for Gabon's joint opposition candidate Albo Ondo Osa. Zimbabwe's main opposition party, Citizens Coalition for Change, also known as CCC, says it wants a redo of the August 23 presidential and parliamentary elections because the polls were flawed. The Electoral Commission has declared President Emmerson Mnangagwa the winner. As Rutendo Manwere reports from Harare, the ruling ZANU-PF party says the election was free and fair.
The ruling ZANU-PF party says, as far as they are concerned, there is no dispute over last week's polls in Zimbabwe. Farai Marapira is the acting director of information for ZANU-PF.
I think what the opposition leadership is failing to appreciate is that elections are not brought to a rerun on the basis of emotions or of how political leaders feel about a loss that they've just faced. If they want a rerun or anything stupendous like that, they have to bring the evidence. As far as we're concerned, the CCC, it's a career now for them to do press conferences without substance. So they should bring the substance which is needed for their allegations to stick.
Speaking to the media Tuesday, the deputy spokesperson for the Citizens Coalition for Change, Ostalos Gift Sisiba, says to be credible, Zimbabwe needs fresh polls.
The only resolution and way forward articulated by CCC is that Zimbabwe needs a fresh and broad and proper election to exit the current crisis. A flawed electoral process has fully obscured the will of the Zimbabwean people, and there is no alternative outside a new, clean, fresh, and a proper election. Only that can give Zimbabwe an exit out of the vicious cycles of disputed election that have been dominating our party politic since 1980.
He adds that help is needed.
The solution lies in calling upon our African brothers and those in the region, particularly SADC, the African Union, to help us to facilitate, to mediate, to scaffold, and more importantly, to guarantee a process that will lead our return to legitimacy in the shortest period of time.
The Zimbabwe Electoral Commission declared Mnangagwa winner of the presidential poll with 52.6% of the vote, while the leader of the opposition, CCC, is said to have earned 44%. However, observer missions from the Southern African Development Community, the African Union, COMESA, the European Union, the Commonwealth, and the US say the elections were marred by irregularities that compromised the credibility of the polls. Some of the observers also say voters were intimidated by the Forever Associates of Zimbabwe, a shadowy group affiliated with the ruling party that was conducting exit surveys on the polling days. Authorities say the group did not break any laws. Reporting for VOA Africa, this is Rutendo Mawere in Harare.
Some Zimbabweans residing in South Africa have criticized President Cyril Ramaphosa for congratulating Zimbabwean President Emmerson Mnangagwa for winning re-election after international observers said the poll fell short of election standards. Tuso Kumalo reports from Johannesburg.
Some Zimbabweans who fled turmoil in their own country for South Africa accused President Ramaphosa of being an accessory to their suffering. Zimbabwe national Dumisani Lea says he was shocked to hear the South African president's congratulatory message on an election rejected by the main opposition and questioned by the regional bloc, the Southern African Development Community, or SADC.
It is very unwise and it is very irresponsible for Cyril Ramaphosa to congratulate Zimbabwe at a time when, if the results of the elections as they stand are maintained, might mean an exodus of Zimbabweans to South Africa.
Women's rights activist Victress Matutu tells VOA that Ramaphosa has chosen to please his peers at the expense of the people of Zimbabwe who face xenophobic violence in South Africa.
He is a president of the country that is burdened by Zimbabweans flocking into because of the situation in Zimbabwe. So I was expecting him to be the last person to congratulate Zimbabwe on these elections that have been criticized by SADC and other organizations.
Zimbabwean human rights lawyer Vusumuzi Sibanda calls it surprising that a key member of the SADC sends congratulations to Mnangagwa and his ruling party when the regional body's election observer mission said the election had been marred by irregularities.
It is very clear that the ANC doesn't care about, you know, the ordinary people of Zimbabwe, but its friendship with ZANU-PF. And that's what has been happening in the SADC all this time, that they are always protecting each other. So it means that he's simply implying that nobody should say anything that makes value as long as they're not head of state.
And Gideon Chitanga, a research associate at the African Center for the Study of the United States, says Ramaphosa's congratulatory message is unfortunate.
ZANU-PF will feel that the biggest power and economy in Africa is backing their election results. I think they would be vindicated and probably become defiant in any possibility of engaging with the opposition.
Speaking to journalists during a community engagement in Soweto Tuesday, President Ramaphosa explained why he congratulated Mnangagwa, even though very few African leaders have done so.
Well, the Electoral Commission in Zimbabwe has made a declaration, and it is on that basis that we have issued our congratulatory message. Well, violence is one of those reactions that we abhor and want to avoid.
Zimbabwe's main opposition party, the Citizens Coalition for Change, says it wants fresh elections under SADC supervision, calling last week's vote illegal. SADC announced it will send a fact-finding mission to investigate the alleged election irregularities. Reporting for VOA News in Johannesburg, I am Tuso Kumalo.
For more on the political situation in Zimbabwe, VOA's Douglas Umpuga reached Reki Mukunza. He is Professor of Humanities at Shwani University of Technology, Polokwane, in Limpopo, South Africa. Professor Mukunza says there might be a peaceful way to solve what he calls a political crisis in Zimbabwe.
I think a peaceful way of resolving the political crisis that we are facing is there. The question is whether the key players are willing to make the necessary sacrifices and also take the necessary steps. We already have a precedence in 2008 when we faced a similar challenge. The political parties that were sloggers ended up getting into a government of national unity. So that's a possibility that is on the table. But you see, the challenge that with that option is that it then kind of sends a wrong message to ruling parties that cheats in election, because they will always know that there will always be a way that to accommodate them. So that's the downside of doing that. But at this point in time, I don't see any other option, because going for a rerun will only result in more people either being killed, being maimed, because ZANU-PF this time around is going to come out guns blazing with the naked violence, because that's what they know. That's what they've always been doing in previous elections. So I think a government of national unity is, for me, the option that is there.
Given that ZANU-PF is facing a lot of pressure from the international community, from the observers, from SADC, do you think negotiating maybe a coalition government would make matters easier for the country?
Yes, there is no option. They may choose to go it alone, but the consequences are known. It's a five-year term where there will be, you know, a lot of suffering for Zimbabweans. The economy is not going to recover. External business people who may want to come and invest in the country. ZANU-PF does not have the trust of a majority of the economically active. Zimbabwe needs a settlement to at least dilute the political tensions in the country.
That was Reki Mukunza, a professor of humanities at Shwani University of Technology. He spoke with viewers Douglas Umpuga from Polokwane, South Africa. Listening to Daybreak Africa on the Voice of America. I'm James Botti in Washington. Today is Wednesday, August 30th. For more Africa news and features, visit our website at voaafrica.com. Connect with us on all social media platforms. We are on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. Opposition political parties in Liberia have signed a memorandum of understanding to protect and safeguard the October 10 presidential and legislative election. Sarah Beslow Nyanti, a presidential candidate of the African Liberation League, is the architect of the plan. She explains to me the importance of the plan.
The significance is that it provides an opportunity for opposition political parties to come together to partner on key areas related to safeguarding the votes of the Liberian people. It allows us a platform upon which we can leverage the work that some might have already done, leverage the experiences and comparative advantage that some might have, as well as resources, and ensuring that we have a better representation at the various polling stations during the elections. And so it requires all of us to own the document and own the next steps. And I believe that what we saw yesterday, the level of commitment we saw from political leaders like Councillor Tilma Ngonglo, Honorable Alexander Cummings, the Unity Party, and other key actors, and more who want to sign who are not in town, who've expressed their commitment to the MOU. So we look forward to having a strong team that will look into how we train, how we deploy.
Let me ask you, you talk about unity in monitoring. In a way, the opposition, while they cannot unite to be a ticket, they have agreed to unite to monitor the election. How strong is that to you?
That's very strong to me, because we are fully aware of where we are right now. We're aware of the need for sustainable peace as the prerequisite for sustainable development. We're aware that our peace is fragile, and we need to do everything to give the voters the confidence in the system that would give them surety to come out and cast their votes and feel confident and comfortable that their votes will be counted with integrity, with a credible, fair, free, and peaceful election. Now, the responsibility is on all of us, on all Liberians, for that to happen. The larger responsibility is on the government. Well, all of us as Liberians are responsible for our peace, and we have to decide we want peace. And this is a step in that direction. Uniting as an opposition strengthens our position in terms of ensuring that opposition supporters are peaceful going to the polls. They remain peaceful during the polls. They remain peaceful after, and that will sustain our fragile peace.
I think you put your hand on it, because the opposition does not hold or sponsor the election. The government sponsors the election, or the Electoral Commission. And so people say, okay, you should have brought the government on board.
Well, the way we viewed it is the need for the opposition to unite in protecting our votes. The government is the incumbent. And I would say we're in a position where we know that we don't have the upper hand that the government has in terms of reach and scope. And so we have decided to unite to ensure that we have a stronger positioning at the polling stations.
Thank you so much again. A pleasure speaking with you. And good luck again on the campaign trail.
Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Boti.
Sarah Beslow Nyanti is the presidential candidate of the African Liberation League Political Party of Liberia. She was speaking with me from Liberia's capital, Monrovia. A dozen of civilians were killed in an attack by CODECO militiamen on Monday night. The attack took place in the Shaba mining area in Ituri province. Zanep Neti Zaide has the details.
At least 14 people were killed and 8 wounded, according to authorities in Ituri province in the east of the Democratic Republic of Congo. The attack is attributed to armed men from the Cooperative for the Development of Congo, CODECO, active in the Ituri region. This new murders of civilians by the militia has caused a stir in local communities who deplore the silence of the authorities. Janvier Binekwale is a member of civil society. He says these are difficult times for the population of Ituri province in general. Today, they have just recorded another attack by armed groups in the Shaba mining basin. With the new outbreak in insecurity, he wonders whether those who are supposed to protect the population and its property, like the authorities, are aware of what's going on. The army, which confirms the attacks, reaffirms its determination to put the end of the threats. According to army spokesman Lieutenant Gilles Ngongo, the situation in the field is worrying, but military elements have been positioned. He says they will keep deploying troops For the moment, there is not much to comment on, and that the armed forces are still hard at work trying to demolish the threats. Although Codeco militiamen have signed an agreement to cease hostilities with the Congolese government, in the field, the armed elements keep massacring the population. Nearly 110 civilians have been killed by armed movements in this province over the past months. Civil society, for its part, advocates a military solution to end the violence by armed men in this part of the DRC. Codeco is a loose association of ethnic Lendu militia groups, and since 2017, it has been fighting with Zaire, a mainly ethnic Hema self-defense group. For VOA Africa, I'm Zane Mnechi Zaidi in Goma.
Malawi's main opposition party is pushing for the resignation of President Lazarus Chakwera over a looming economic crisis resulting in fuel shortages, a scarcity of foreign exchange, and increased grain prices. A government spokesperson said pushing Chakwera to resign is not realistic. Lamek Masina reports from Blantyre.
Dalitso Kabambe is the presidential aspirant for the opposition Democratic Progressive Party, or DPP. He told reporters that the country's economy is heading into a crisis.
You see, inflation is very, very high at 28%. The exchange rate is wobbling and there's no forex available. When you see growth has been subdued for some time now, all these are indicators that the economy has overheated and that it needs to be stabilized.
Kabambe, also a former governor for the Reserve Bank of Malawi, said the problem is that the current administration has no expertise managing the economy.
So to stabilize the economy, that is the big boy's job, to ensure that now you're opening up as many businesses as possible, the mining sector, you're developing as many mines as possible, and then in the agriculture sector, you are producing large volumes of food, and you are getting a lot of surplus for exports, because that's what will help the country to grow the economy.
DPP spokesperson Shadrick Namalumba says President Lazarus Chakwera should resign so that other people can take over and address economic problems Malawians are facing. Ezekiel Chingoma, a spokesperson for the Malawi Congress Party, a leading party in the governing Tonse Alliance, would not take a call from VOA after promising to comment on the matter. Government spokesperson Moses Kunkuyu told a local media outlet on Monday that DPP officials were making the remarks out of anger emanating from bitterness over losing elections in 2020. Kunkuyu, also the Minister of Information, said economic challenges facing Malawi are largely because of trends that have destabilized global economies and that pushing President Chakwera to resign is unrealistic.
What we can say is that President Lazarus Chakwera has not failed to run the affairs of this country. The country has taken a path to recovery, and we are not where we were when President Chakwera came into office 3 years ago. This country was worse than where we are today.
President Chakwera took office in 2020 after defeating DPP leader Peter Mutharika in a rerun election. Chakwera later announced an anti-corruption campaign, which saw several officials from the DPP arrested, a move which its president, Mutharika, called political persecution. Lameck Masina for VOA News, Blantyre, Malawi.
The Nigerian army says its troops have rescued dozens of captives, mostly women and children, held by Islamic extremist rebels in the country's northeastern region, where Islamic extremist violence has raged for years. According to the Associated Press, the army says the 25 hostages were rescued during clearance operations in Borno State's Gwoza district. An army spokesperson said 14 of the captives were the first to be rescued on Saturday in Gobara village, while 11 others were free on Sunday when troops raided the rebel hideout in Gava village. And that's it for this Wednesday, August 30th edition of Daybreak Africa. On behalf of the Daybreak Africa team, I am James Botti in Washington, wishing that you will have a lovely day.